I saw
Really,
that this.
I mean,
I
like,
saw that this morning, and I was like, "Wow!" I mean, I knew he was having issues, but I didn't.
I saw it yesterday, and I knew he was having, or I didn't know he was having issues until, like, not too long ago, when someone said something to me, and I was like, oh shit.
Right. So he got diagnosed in November of 2024. So he had it like he battled for about a year.
No. November of 2024 is when he told everyone. He and it in 24 he said he had been dealing with this for a year, a couple of years.
Okay,
So
so it's even
if I
longer.
remember reading it right.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say he was probably battling this for a couple of years. Hi, thanks for joining us. We're talking about James Van Der Beek and our one and only celebrity death this week.
Well, unless you count Brad Arnold, who died over the weekend from Three Doors Down.
Oh yeah, but we talked about that on Thursday, didn't we? Like last week? Didn't
No,
that happen on Thursday?
he didn't. I don't think he passed away until like
Oh, he never mind. That was like
February
Saturday morning.
7th. Yeah,
Never mind.
so
Yeah.
he passed
Okay.
away too. So it's and it kind of hurts me a little bit because both these guys are my age, so it
Yeah.
kind of gives me spine chills of damn.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in the age range. Like, don't get me wrong,
Yeah,
because
but
I'm.
these guys are literally like, I am 47, so I'm exactly Brad's age, and James Van Der Beek was a year older than me, so I'm like, ugh.
Right. No, I get it. I totally get it. Yeah, it's just rough to even think about this stuff, but. You got to do what you got to do, and
And
that's part
both
of the
guys
deal.
will be remembered for like a long time. Like it's, Three Doors Down, not exactly like the most, epic of rock bands, but they had solid hits, solid albums. I think Kryptonite will always be that song that everybody remembers, especially us comic book guys,
Yeah. What's that other hit they had? I think it
They
was on the
had a
same record,
few.
right? They had a couple that weren't bad. But yeah, it just sucks, like cancer, man, comes and takes people out. That's what took both these guys. So,
Yep. So let
yeah,
that be a
I
lesson to
mean,
everybody like our age, go to the doctor and get yourself screened.
right? Like I was not a big Three Doors Down fan, but I enjoyed a couple of the hits. They were okay. I'm just not into like they're just like a little too pop rock for me. But that's fine. Although their original drummer is now, or that went on to be the drummer in Nickelback, so and he actually was a much better drummer in Nickelback than he was in Three Doors Down. Just because he could actually do more stuff. So but with James Van Der Beek though, like I remember watching Dawson's Creek in high school, right? And all through
He was
college, and then Varsity Blues, and
he definitely was the heartthrob of the 2000s there. That was like,
yeah. In fact, I somewhere I have a sweater. It's a green V little V-neck sweater, and I call it my Dawson's Creek sweater because it's like. It's got that look to it, but I mean he went on and then he was in like CSI Cyber. He did a couple other small things too, but
He did a lot of stuff beyond the Dawson's Creek, but he will always be known as Dawson from Dawson's Creek. It's never he's never gonna not be known by that, but
yeah, but I mean like I said, like I was a big fan of him on Varsity Blues as well. Like that was awesome.
Yeah, I think that's one of those movies that you're like, if they put that out now, people would be like, "Ooh, cringe," because there's some
I don't know
cringy
though.
moments in that.
Oh, there definitely are. But I think a lot of it would just be kind of like, nope, kids are still doing this stuff, just so you know.
So, Although
well,
I did enjoy the Van Halen moment in Varsity Blues with their
yeah,
teacher.
the Hopper teacher moment, yeah.
Yeah,
I
where
just always remember the scene where they like come out of the strip club and it's like morning, and they're like, and then they gotta go play a game and they play like absolute garbage. It's hilarious.
because that actually
So,
happens, in real life,
right.
I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Oh,
Of
I
course.
know it does because I know people that did it. So, so.
I do remember, I don't know the actor, the dude that played the fat lineman, like
Yeah.
him looking at the teacher going, "Would you like to go to prom with me?"
Right. Right. Well, there's a cringy moment if there ever was one.
Exactly.
But anyway. All right. Well, we have some things coming up. But at the end of the month, we're going to be at Happy Valley Comic Con. So make sure you guys check that out. Thanks for everybody that came out to cosplay karaoke last night, made some money for the Heroes Initiative. We probably will do two more of those before the end of the calendar year or before the show happens. The next one's theme is heroes and villains. We just are trying to solidify where and when that will be. Most likely it will be on April Fool's Day. So yay
There you
fun.
go.
And then the last one will be about 2 weeks before the show, so mid-May. And that theme will be 80s cartoons because the Masters of the Universe movie comes out the week of the show, and we want to capitalize on our fandom.
Yes.
So,
Yeah. Very much so. That's
I don't think, and it was hilarious because I took a we were we did the cosplay karaoke at the Phoenix Theater last night, and they're upstairs in their e-sports section, and they actually had a coming soon poster for it, and one of my friends was there with his wife singing karaoke, so I took a picture of it. And I just sent it to him, and I just wrote, "It's happening." He got a good kick out of it. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, other than that, like tickets for the show are on sale. I got some guest announcements to roll out. Probably that'll be like the end of next week because I forgot my iPad in Ohio at the store, and I need it to make all the graphics. So yeah, sorry. But we do have a lot of great vendors already signed up, so make sure you're doing that. What are
All I
you
see is
doing?
puppy butt.
What are you doing? Oh, I have a little like lower lumbar pillow on this chair, so he's moving it around so he got comfy. So
Oh, he's a cuddle bug.
now Lucy's probably gonna jump up on top of him. Yep, see, there she goes. She's like, "Ooh."
It easy. You have two small ones. You
She's
met my.
literally right.
You saw how big my girl got. She can't be
Listen,
doing
listen.
that on the chair.
Right, but that's my worry is that she can't. Like that was my worry about her. But these two together, I think maybe weigh like 60 pounds together. Maybe.
Oh,
Right, Lucy?
man.
Right? Oh, thank you, babe. So cute.
Yeah.
Daddy's girl. Daddy's girl.
Yeah.
And now they hear something downstairs, so off they go. So,
Yeah.
all right. Well, I guess we can talk comics. Also, don't forget Comics Pro is coming up not this weekend, but next weekend. So I'll be
Yes.
do attending that virtually. So I'll give everybody a lowdown of that stuff afterwards.
Yep.
But it ought to be fun.
I hope so.
Ooh.
Well, by the looks of it, there's a lot of cool things coming out here in the next couple weeks
Yeah.
for, comic wise.
Oh, when the new Batwoman comes out, we're gonna have a Batwoman cosplayer at the Mills that day, and you can take your picture with Batwoman that day.
There you
So,
go.
yeah.
Cool.
All right, let's talk comics.
I knew you were going to pick that one.
Right? So,
That got a lot of love on the internet for sure.
dude, well, first off, like the creative team is great. Because you got Teenie Howard and Babs Tarr together, so like Babs Tarr is like an amazing artist, so this all really really worked, and it's very very feminist. So it starts off where this girl gets murdered, and then it cuts to like the so she gets murdered on July 20th. On July 21st, Black Canary is meeting Selena for lunch, and she comes to find out that she's actually meeting all of the sirens for lunch, and they're kind of like, what the hell? Like, she's kind of like, what the hell? Like, why are these two here? And they're like, why is she here? Because she's a superhero. So they're kind of going back and forth at it, and they just keep being like, let's see your rock from Ollie. And she finally does show him or show them her engagement ring, and they're like, Jesus Christ, that thing's like a $1 million ring. And she's like, yeah, it's a little too big for me. Like the whole time, like Poison Ivy's just kind of like, you should ditch him, blah blah blah. And Harley's just kind of like, you can date me. And Catwoman is just like, it's cool, I also like a rich man. And they just keep talking about like how she just talks to Bruce about stuff, even though she won't marry him. So then Ollie calls, and they kind of ditch Black Canary at the time to go do a heist. So they stick her with the bill. They go to this money heist, and when they're leaving, they run into the dead body of the girl that got stabbed on the 20th. And all of a sudden, Black Canary shows up and is like, guys, what the fuck? Like, drop the money, and what the hell? And they're like, no. So they get away with the money and leave her with the dead body to deal with. So they go back to their place. So then July 25th, they're talking about, like, they keep hearing about the body on the online or on the TV, and and Poison Ivy uses like her doctoral skills to figure out what's going on. They just find that she's been killed a lot. So at some point, like Selena talks about how she called someone to help out, and they're like, it's like Harley goes, what about you? Did you find out anything? She goes, I just talked to Batman. They're like, you saw him again? Spill it, Cat. And they're like, well, eventually we talked about it. And Batman just goes, Calendar Man. And she's like, is that what you want to call me tonight? And he goes, no, the girl was killed on her birthday. It's probably Calendar Man. And she's just kind of like, interesting. And in my head, I'm going, do they role play like that? Like, that's just awkward as hell. Right. So they figure out where he's going to be. They go to this club, and who is the band but Black Canary? Because Black Canary also figured out that this is where the girl worked. So they're trying to see if they can catch him. So they sit through her set, and everything's cool. And then Ollie shows up, and Dinah's kind of like, I need you to leave because they don't trust you. And he's just kind of like, whatever. Like, gets all pissed off. And there's this like a really interesting moment between Dinah and the other girls. So they see Calendar Man come in, but there's also this girl with a really big hat, that is getting bottle service from a girl who's it's her birthday. And so they're outside waiting for Calendar Man to show up, and they hear a scream, and they go, and Calendar Man never came out, but the girl's dead on the floor. And they're like, what the hell? They kind of have to go and figure out what's going on, and you see someone else is actually the villain, not Calendar Man. But there's this really funny part. I gotta find it because it's really hilarious. There's a part where Harley says, is this where I get a hot rich mommy at some point, which was hilarious. And there's some point, where the fuck is it? In some point in here, they make fun of Selena to the point about Bruce that they actually call Batman a fuckboy. Was like, what? Oh, come on, where the hell is it? It's something about like is he a fuckboy? And she's like, no, like it's not just about booty calls or something. It was pretty funny. I can't find it in here, but it was really hilarious to hear them talk about Batman in the description of like a booty call kind of way. So again, Babtar and Tina Howard, this is really good. It's another mini series for the Sirens. I love the Sirens in general. I love Babtar, so this makes it even better for me, because her art really fits the book. So this cover is
She's
also
definitely,
Babtar.
she's like top five in like artists for female artists in general in the current era. Easy, you know, it's.
So I'm going to use Black Eyed Peas' "Boom Boom Boom" to describe this book. It's pretty much that entire the entire way through, with Catwoman being mostly Fergie. So, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Make sure you guys go check it out. Oh, whoops! Come on. There you go. From one hot chick
There we go.
book to another hot chick book.
Well, this is more hot guy, because it's not real. This is all the entirety of this is all about Ian Nottingham. Like, this is his origin. Like, it's in a three-part series here of his life. The first is him as a kid, where he meets his the love of his life, so to speak. His like how they met, how he used to just steal, him being part American, and you know how that went, where the inner like the intermingling of American and Japanese was not like looked well upon. We meet Madam X, who basically tortures the living crap out of them, making Ian and his love their slaves. In comes in Kenneth Irons, which, you know, that's, you know, he goes to work for him. The second story is kind of about him after he trains under Kenneth Irons and basically just destroys Madam X's entire empire, and takes a artifact, the Blood Sword, from Madam X, and doesn't kill her or anything, but he's basically just kind of gets it for Kenneth Irons. And, you know, he's planning the death and everything of her, of him. And then now it's the third story is him. This is after Kenneth Irons is gone. He goes through and just destroys Kenneth Irons' fortress. Goes through all these different puzzles and everything, where he finds a letter Kenneth wrote going, "I hope this finds you when I am gone. There is no artifact to resurrect his love because she was killed. Everything is your fault. See you in hell, Irons," which is pretty, you know, spot on for Kenneth Irons. And he has his love. It kind of encased, kind of similar to Victor Freeze and his wife. I see the parallels here, where she's kind of suspended in animation. And, hoping to resurrect her one way or another. But that's the way it kind of ends. But you get a general gist of how Ian Nottingham came to be, like in the Witchblade mythos. But it's very, you know, Victor Freeze-ish kind of thing going on with it. So it was pretty good. I don't know what I would call this on our grading scale here.
Also, if you guys like this cover, while he's thinking about that, if you like this cover, you should see the Steve Sedgwick one. The Steve Sedgwick variant is freaking
Yeah. And I think there's a blank cover for this too, if I'm not
amazeballs.
mistaken. Yeah. But yeah, let's do some. I feel Evanescence vibes off of this, so let's do Bring Me to Life. I think that's very ironic.
There you
Ironic.
go.
There you
That
go.
works. That works for me.
Yeah. That worked. Yeah.
Or just something by Evanescence, like it, but Bring Me to Life works out.
Bring Me to Life is a little bit slightly more positive, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, my second book is Mark Spector Moon Knight. This is by Jed MacKay and Para Manic and one of the Rosenbergs. This is where Mark is the mailman in this stuck in this weird cycle business thing that people have him kind of stuck in, and it starts out where his boss is yelling at him about the mail, and he's like you have to deliver all the mail, like including this letter that you left in your cart, which says Jean Ball DeCamp, and he's like, I don't know who that is, I don't know where it goes. He's like, yes, you do. He's like, you're gonna have to think about it, and it can't leave your cart until you figure it out. So, he takes it home, and he's watching like a TV show of Moon Knight, which is hilarious. And you see that like the big boss plus a bunch of other guys are like manipulating him into figuring out that he actually is Moon Knight. But I don't know if they're doing it in a positive way or a not positive way, but it is very, this whole book's pretty fucked up, but I dig it. It's very Moon Knight, so definitely check it out. There's it's just so bizarre at some point, and then at the end, Zodiac is there, and Zodiac and Moon Knight end up teaming up at the end. Because Zodiac gives Moon Knight, or gives Mark Spector, the Moon Knight hood in a box, and he puts it, like he pulls it out and he puts it on, and they join forces to like beat up a bunch of guys. It's pretty cool. I dig it. I'm not mad about it. I did not hate it. I did not love it. It's pretty middle of the road, but I think it's got a lot of potential. I'm going with the Aussie classic of Crazy Train for this. Because yeah, it's so fucked up. So but it was very good. I dug it. I like the art a lot. It reminded me a lot of the Garth Ennis run, like when that started. Like I think it was Garth, right? Didn't he do that mini? He did a one mini series, I think.
I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
I
know
really
much
enjoyed
about
it.
his Marvel-esque writing. I know more about his
It
DC
kind of,
writing.
it also, yeah, same. It also had a little bit of the Jeff Lemire-ish run a little bit, like the where
Yeah.
he became Mr. Knight. It had a little
Yeah.
bit of that vibe to it too. But I dug it. I recommend it. I think it was good. Moon Knight can't go wrong. So.
It's true. Here we go. This is the last, well, this is the last of the first run of Phantom number 5. We continued with what was it, the what's his name? Asif Sig. He is taken over the village, Bandar village. The Phantom is healed up and he's all bandaged up, but he's still going to fight against him and this little army. He's waiting for the Phantom to show up, with his little mercenary group. And there's like back and forth, him calling the Phantom a coward, this, that, and the other. You know, what are you going to do? Of course, the Phantom just takes his gun right out of his hands. I forget who the other dude is here. The sidekick, the guy that was negotiating for the village, is right beside him, and he takes on the other two. The Phantom goes after him. They fight in the jungle, and the guy actually gets like his like the upper hand just because the Phantom is hurt, and he isn't like invincible or anything. But he does just enough to gain the advantage where you think he's about to kill him, and the Phantom pulls the classic whisper under the breaths, and then he's just near him. Well, next thing you know, you see a gun right under his chin. So they got him, and he's like, you can't kill me. He's like, then the village would die, this, that, and the other. And the Phantom's like, oh, SF, you have no idea what this village is, do you? And it shows in the next page here, the kid's actually beating the ever-loving crap out of the mercenaries, like with basketballs and stuff. And we learned that the Bendar village is what's known as a poison tribe, which means that they hunt and fight from basically toddlerhood on. So these kids are already more skilled than these mercenaries are. And he's like, you don't get it. He's like, I'm not their protector. I'm an ally. I just come by and help train with them. He's like, I am not their protector. They can protect themselves. And you see the way it goes here is they take him away and they get apprehended by the authorities, and everything kind of just goes back to normal. Like, all's well that ends well. Including the Phantom continuing his getting bedridden and getting taken care of by the nurse who patched him up. And it's very, happy ever after, but still classic Phantom. I really enjoyed this little, like, this 5-issue run. I think there's going to be more after, I think, by the looks of it. At the end here. No, I think that's it. It was 5, but then I'm seeing something where they're going to bring back 2040 Phantom, which, if anybody remembers that back in the day, yeah, so they're going to make a 2040 Phantom. I remember watching that as a kid. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. And I think I have the original run of that too from Marvel. Yeah, I enjoyed this. I don't know what to put on this as far as. Actually, let's do Johnny Cash, Man in Black, but instead of black, we put purple, the man in purple.
Oh, you know what? I was always told that, like, when you see purple, it actually is usually black. It's just that's the shading. Like, they can't just make it black because it would just be really bad looking. But I don't know. I always thought the Phantom was in purple, so whatever.
But it
So,
fits though. It's
yeah.
fun. I feel like that's a fitting
Yeah.
song.
Yeah. I mean, I always like the Defenders of the Earth, like all of them. So, I would just hope there'd be a Mandrake book because he's my favorite Mandrake the Magician.
I thought there
But
was like last year or something.
they did
I
a
could
one
have been.
shot, I think, with
Okay.
Mandrake. Yeah. So, all right. My last book is Just Brutal by Dennis Hopeless and Bram Rebel. This starts out with this kid who talks about his dad could beat up your dad. He's like, I'm not bragging, it's just true. He's just not good at showing up, and he'll drink your dad under the table while beating him in a foot race, just to watch your stepmom swoon. He's like, yeah, dad's a real man's man. Salt of the earth, coolest guy in every room. Great at all the classic role model stuff that doesn't actually matter at all. So his stepdad slash mom's boyfriend slash coworker is like, hey man, do you want some ice cream? And like all of a sudden you see like him jump and a bunch of blood shoot out of his chest. He's like, oh my God. And here you find out he was just shooting a movie with his phone. So then mom calls him in. He's like, when's the last time you're here with your sister? They kind of talk, and then the sister school calls his twin sister, and she's like, she did what? And you find out like the twin sister is a great at everything situation kind of person. But she's also kind of their mom's sworn enemy. So he tries to like make up with the pseudo boyfriend guy. And then his sort of girl, long distance girlfriend who's helping him write the movie is like, does a video chat with him. And the sort of dad finds these skis and he's like, hey, do you want to go skiing? I know you used to do that. And the mom literally like tackles him and is like, that was a Dex thing. And she's like, oh, he's like, oh, my bad, my bad. Dex was his dad, right? So there's some cool like scenes where they're like making the movie, which is cool. And all of a sudden the sister and dad show up at the house and they go inside and they start talking and the mom starts screaming. As soon as she starts screaming, a giant kaiju rips through their fucking living room. The parents kind of like push the kids down or push the son down. The sister and the dad have been fighting kaiju, you find out. And that's what they do. And the mom actually has like superpowers and like blows a hole through this thing. It's hilarious. And they just kind of like the son doesn't know what the hell's going on, and he's just like, what the fuck? And his I was like, language, sweetheart. And they like kill this kaiju in their living room. So I'm just curious as to like what the hell is actually going on in this book. But it's very cool and very awesome. Like it's just a lot of brutal moments. It's called just brutal for a reason. I like Dennis Hopeless's writing a lot. I loved him when he did the last thing I remember him on was Spider-Woman, and it was really great. So this is just awesome. And I'm going to use fucking Hostile by Pantera for this one because it just is. It just really
Okay.
is. So
All right, we got Logan, Black, White, and Blood, number two. And I love this cover. This cover is really cool. I love that. The fact you see the different versions of him. But of course, you get the three different stories. The first one is called First Kiss. It is from the year 1919. He's hunting in the woods. This is obviously when he was younger, because you're seeing bone claws. It looks like he came back from World War I, which would fit the timeline. He finds a brutal, like, massacre in the woods. You see cars all slammed in the trees. You're seeing like blood everywhere, bodies everywhere, and it looked like they are the Royal Mounties and some bootleggers from the US. So it looked like the American gangsters were trying to run bootleg alcohol into Canada, and this is Logan's first time with alcohol. So this is like his, this is could be considered Logan's first drink. And he drinks it, and apparently it's Kentucky bourbon, and he never had it before. So
Ooh.
he's like, he's obviously in love with it because he's sitting there, he drinks like a whole barrel by himself. And here comes one of the gangsters that was like drenched in blood and everything. Start shooting at him. One of the Mounties shoots at him. Well, they end up like killing each other. Logan leaps up, takes care of the gangster, asks him where the alcohol is from. And he's like, it's Kentucky bourbon. Called him a hillbilly swear word. And he goes, he hears some engines. He leaves, like, he basically sees the Mounties. He grabs the last barrel of Kentucky bourbon that was left and hides in the woods. And at the end, you just see him sitting there with the Kentucky bourbon. It was written by Benjamin Percy, which doesn't surprise this. This looks, this is exactly the way Benjamin Percy writes, which I love when he writes Logan stuff. The next one is called Last Crossing, which is taken during the 1930s. And he's just helping out. From Madripoor to the US, and apparently it's, you know, immigrants trying to get into the US. And we find out that several people are, two of the passengers, I should say, are mutants. One is a girl that turns invisible, and they're slowly taking out the crew because apparently the crew had other ideas than just letting these immigrants be on their way, which, you know, they're also female, which that tends to cause issues. While Logan was just part of the crew, he had nothing to do with it per se. They come after him. Well, he's healing. He ends up getting was it the steam or something in his face, and you could see it burned him in his eye and his face, but he's healing. He ends up discovering that the spirit is a mutant that can turn herself invisible. And they're just trying to leave Madripoor. And they're saying, like, how dare you know, blaming Logan for something that he obviously isn't involved with. Like, he was just part of the crew doing his job, and here comes all these accusations. Now the captain and his close part of the crew knew exactly what they were doing. Well, he asks Logan, hey, would you like to join us in a bigger cut? And we will pay you well. Well, Logan didn't like that too much because he saw how they were going to do things. Well, Logan just ends up slaughtering them with the girl. They do end up getting the ship to the US, kind of a ghost ship type situation. Meanwhile, Logan and the two girls are in the US. reading the paper, and the two girls go on to live a life, and so does Logan. That's the end of that story. The third and final story is called Children of the Altered Mind, and it says it's a few years ago, so you take with what you will on that. And it's him fighting what looks like Hydra agents or some sort of cult. They're cultists. And he was working with Agent Danvers and Nick Fury. So this was him working with SHIELD at the time. Logan gets blasted with a basically like a sonic ray that literally takes out part of his torso while he's healing. Logan ends up distracting the leader long enough that Carol recovers, shoots at him. Logan chops off the dude's hand. The guy leaves his hand, but you see that while he's doing that, he changes and you see a scroll. So this might be his first time he's seeing a scroll. Carol also sees him. And they tell Nick Fury and then what they saw. Well, they're like, well, we're not sure because between Logan going through his berserker and Carol Danvers kind of getting knocked in the head, she had a concussion, so they weren't quite sure what they saw. And Nick Fury's like, no, we know this is, he does his shady thing that Nick Fury does. Obviously that the scroll is there. You even see at the end where he like takes over, like kills a hitchhiker, or he kills a driver that picked him up hitchhiking, takes over his body. And then we see that more scroll shenanigans at the end of the thing here, but it was generally pretty good. I guess that was his Logan's first time seeing a scroll. I don't know what to give this one at all because again, you're spanning years. And I don't have a clue on this one. It's difficult when when it's separate stories and you don't quite and each is a different theme, so it's kind of. But if we're gonna go by the last story with the scrolls, how about we go with "It's the End of the World as We Know It" by REM?
Sure, that'll work.
We'll go with the last one there.
Wow.
But yeah, it's, I do enjoy these because it does give you a nice overview of sections of Logan that we don't get to see,
Right.
through the years. So
It's all good.
yeah.
Cool. Well, other than that, update on the beauty. It's still going very good. Still fucking crazy and weird and horror-ish, and you should totally watch it. Update on Star Trek Academy. Just banger after banger episode. Like last week's episode, they actually did a. It was like a love letter to DS9. So if you're a DS9 fan, you should go watch it. So, but other than that, there's really not a whole
Someone had what?
lot.
The Super Bowl
Oh
commercials?
wait. Sorry, I watched all of Wonder Man, which was actually pretty good. It
Okay.
wasn't super great, like, but it wasn't bad. It felt like a regular sitcom,
Just with
kind of.
superhero powers.
Yeah, it was It was definitely interesting. The best episode I still think is the Doorman episode, mostly because I love Doorman. And the last episode. Those were probably the two best episodes of the series.
I was going to
Other than
say,
that,
I know Super Bowl commercial. I was expecting, like, we didn't get an Avengers trailer. We didn't get a Spider-Man trailer. We did get
right.
a more of a Supergirl trailer, which you got to see more of Lobo, which
Right.
Jason Momoa looks really awesome as Lobo. They really did really nicely with the makeup and everything. It looked really good.
Well, they did the one at the Puppy Bowl too, which had the puppy version of Crypto in it, which was great. So.
Of course they did. But yeah, they did do a trailer for Masters of the Universe, so you got to see a little bit more. You did get to see the more epic "I Have the Power"
Yeah.
background and everything. That looked a little bit more polished than the mini
Teaser,
trailer.
yeah.
Yeah, so that didn't look too bad to me. That looked pretty cool, actually. I can't wait for a full-on trailer, like the closer we get to it here, it.
I don't know that we're going to get that. I mean, they only have 4 months, not even. So, but.
Well, you figure that month before they're gonna really push it, though, I imagine.
So listen, all I'm saying is it comes out the same weekend as our show. So, one, if you're coming in cosplay, pick a master. Two, if you're getting a sketch done, pick a He-Man character, buddy.
We'll have to ask all the artists to be like, so how many Master of the Universe stuff did you get? You can't ask the pool.
I gotta try to find a blank Masters of the Universe so that I can have Trish do Battlecat for me. So,
Oh, there you go.
like
There you
Battlecat and Panther, like on each side staring at each other. Like, I think that'd be
Yeah,
like
I think you should.
in the style of Feral, which would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple other guys that I'm thinking about. By the way, Trish Warrens is coming to the show, if you guys didn't know. I don't think I have it on the list. I don't think I have that posted yet, but that will be once I
I
get the
was going to say,
recruiting
I think
stuff.
she enjoys coming to our show like every year, it seems
For
like.
one of
So,
like four shows she does a year, and that's it. She
yeah.
does us, Harrisburg, Baltimore, New York, and Heroes, and I think that's it. So.
Yeah. And she loves the, like,
Oh, yeah.
everybody loves every time, we get to see those awesome pet sketches that she does. So,
Oh, yeah.
you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have my dogs. I had her do Lockjaw. So it's gonna be a good time. So if you guys are looking for, things to get sketched on, try to find some blanks. But if you happen to see a Masters one in your things that you dig through for the store, let me know. So.
I was gonna say I can't recall the last time they said Master of the Universe had a blank cover.
Well, I have a Mega Man one, and I'm gonna probably have her do Rush.
Yeah,
So
there you
that'll be cool. But
Yeah, but like this year's Super Bowl commercials were very, well,
boring.
I have to say
Well, they were
well, there were a
boring, but they
couple of them
weren't
really
great.
hilarious. There was
Yeah.
the Manscaped one, which
Yeah.
was hilarious.
Yeah.
Me and Rachel watched that, Cupcake watched that, and we were rolling because you saw the googly eyes and the little mouse and
Yep.
the piles of hair, and
Yep.
I'm like, whoever thought that up, genius. I was like, I hope
Yep.
they got a raise for that, because that is a Super Bowl commercial. That's what you should do
Yeah.
for the Super Bowl, is you want that commercial that everybody talks about, that remembers, like the frogs from Budweiser, stuff like that. Like,
Yeah,
people still
yeah.
remember that. And
Yeah,
that's
and
before realizing.
the I Love You Man
Yeah.
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's
Yeah.
definitely some that are great. The only other one I thought that was really good was the Goodwill Duncan one.
Oh,
That was pretty good.
with Ben
Yeah.
Affleck and Jennifer
And Matt Damon.
Aniston,
Yeah.
and
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I was like, huh,
Yeah.
okay. I was like, that's the
Yeah.
big celebrity one. I did like the Chris Hemsworth with Alexa in it, was pretty funny too.
Yeah.
That one was pretty good, especially his wife. She just stared at him like, "You're insane." And he's like, "Well, that could have happened. All these things could happen." And
Right.
was like, "Okay." I was like, "I give it. It's Chris Hemsworth. They're probably like, dude, just do your thing, you know, be hot and you know funny, and it'll work." And it did. You
Yep.
know, I'd rather see him in a commercial like this than being in a Thor movie and look and acting like this. But
Yes.
that is my opinion on that. But I have to say that is a good way to get Alexa thrown out into the ether there a little bit.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, that's all we have for this week. So make sure you go and support your local shop. Check out some sales coming up. We'll see you through as Comic Con. We may see us at college for Happy Valley. Yeah, if you ever have any questions or anything, or you want to come on the show and be a guest, let us know. Like, we'll totally
Yeah.
have people on. It's a lot of fun.
Stay warm out there, guys. It's still like
Yeah.
cold. We had
Yeah.
one nice day this
Right.
week.
Right. So, all right, guys, have a good night and have a great weekend.